If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew 16 this morning. Matthew 16. Today I want to talk to you about Crossroads Mission. We're having our ministry fair right after this service, and this gives you an opportunity to see what ministries we have here at Crossroads, to meet many of their ministry leaders and sign up and get involved. That's our fall kickoff. We have our children, it's Move Up Sunday, where they're going to the new classrooms, and be praying for our children. That can be a scary thing to go to a new classroom, especially the younger children going to an older child's classroom. It can be very scary. So be praying for them and pray for our teachers. And you say, but why is this important? Why does this really matter? And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning, because this really does matter. This is really what it's all about, the church is all about. We need to understand this, you know, and that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. In Matthew 16, we have to begin there because I think it's such a key passage for us to understand. Matthew 16, beginning with verse 13, let's begin reading. It says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah, one of the prophets. But what about you, he asked, who do you say I am? And Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then he warned his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Christ. In this passage of scripture that Jesus is sharing with them, he is talking about so many different things, but I want to focus on a couple things that he's talking about here. Jesus was questioning his disciples, he says, concerning his identity. And he asked them right out, he says, what are others saying about me? Who do they say that I am? And he kind of paused there briefly. And then he looks at his disciples and he says, who do you say that I am? And it's very important. Who do you think that I am? And then, of course, Simon Peter, the bold one, blurts out. And what he said was tremendous. He says, for you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And you look at this, he got the answer. It was the right answer. He is the Messiah. He is God. He is the Son of the living God. Separate from all others is what he shared there. And then Jesus says, he commends Peter because of his faith. And he says, Peter, he commends him. He says, but Peter, this was not revealed to you by man, but this was revealed to you by my Father in heaven. He said, you didn't come up with this by yourself, Peter, but God, my Father, revealed this to you and let you understand who I am. And then Jesus used this tremendous opportunity to speak of the church. Talked then about the church. He was unveiling a mystery that wasn't known about his church and what he was going to do. And Jesus promises, I will build my church, is what he says. I will build it. And then he mentioned the foundation of which this church was going to be built upon. And then he talked about the ultimate victory of the church. And then he went on, he says, spoke of the great authority that would be given to the church. He shared all these things with them. And this passage of scripture raises some great questions for you and I today. The question of, what is this church that Jesus promised to build? And what about this foundation in which he promised to build it upon? And the answer to these questions should be very important for any of us that claim that we're in Christ, that we trust in him by faith. This should be very important of what the answer are to these questions. And so the first thing we need to do is define what he's talking about, the church. Let's define church. In the Greek word, the word is ekklesia, which means an assembly or a congregation. And you probably know this. So it's not talking about a building. This building is not the church. What he's talking about, anyone who has placed their faith and trust in Jesus Christ for forgiveness of sins is now part of the church. You are in Christ and you are in the church. And they are part of God's church. The assembly of believers in Jesus Christ is what he's talking about. And we understand that. But the church's foundation he gave us, and he says the church's foundation is Jesus Christ. That he is the chief cornerstone of the church. Back in their times when they built the building, they would lay this big cornerstone, this big kind of block down, and they would lay it down. They called it the chief cornerstone, and everything in that building would be aligned to the chief cornerstone. So it had to be laid the right way. It had to be level. It had to be down just the right angle, everything they wanted. Because if that block, if that chief cornerstone was wrong, everything else built upon it would be wrong, and the building would come crashing down. And Jesus is letting you and I know that he is the chief cornerstone, that he is the foundation of the church, and Jesus is the head of the church. He's the head of it. And if you were to ask who runs the church, if you were to say who runs Crossroads, well, my answer to you is Jesus. You say, no, really? No, it's Jesus. This is his church. It is his church. He's the head of the church, and we have the honor and privilege to be a part of his church. We have the honor and privilege to serve in his church, but we must yield to his authority and build upon the foundation which Jesus himself has established. This is his church, and we need to understand that. So I wanted to just make sure that we're all on the same page. You probably say, I know that, and that's good. But we need to be all on the same page of understanding that. That Jesus has established his church, and this church is all around the world, but in certain geographic locations, people kind of meet together, they kind of assemble together, and we call those local assemblies, we call them the local church. And Crossroads Community Church is a local church. And the question is, what does God want the local church to do? Does he want us just to come together and meet on Sundays? Is that what church is about? Think about it. Is that your view of church, that you meet on Sundays and that's all you have to do at church? That's it. We meet on Sundays and I've kind of finished it. Because some are like that. We meet on Sunday, we attended, and we get that little mark, and that's what we're thinking. Or is it about building buildings? The church is about building buildings. To some, it seems like that's what it's all about. What has God really called the church to do? What does he want the church to do? Now, we can go to Scripture, and that's where we're going to go, to find out God's biblical mandate for the church, because he does have one. It's a biblical mandate, and there's two biblical mandates, and you find them for the church. The first one is found in Matthew 22, verse 37 through 39, the two biblical mandates. This one that Jesus gives us, when he was asked by the religious leaders, he was asked this question. He says, what is the greatest commandment? And Jesus responds, and he says this. They ask him, what is the greatest commandment of all the commandments? And he says this, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandments. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's what Jesus shared. So the first mandate that Jesus gives us is a command that Jesus gives us. And what he tells us to do, he says to love God and to love others. That you and I are to love God and love others. That's what he says. And it's really in that order that you and I understand that. What we have all been called to do, and who's the church? You and I are the church. It's not this building. So God has called the church, all of us, but you and I, and you as an individual, your mandate in life is to love God first and to love others. That's what we've all been called to do. To love God, put him first in all things, that I love God. And how I can love God is God loves me and gives me the ability now to love him. And out of that love that he's given me, he's given the ability now to love others. So if I try to love others before I love God, it's out of balance. I don't have the proper love that I can have. I don't have the love that I need to have for others, the forgiveness and those kind of things. The only way I can really love others is by loving God and putting him first and allowing him to give me the love that I need. So it needs to go in that order. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then love others. That's the mandate that God has given the church. Now, the second mandate is found in Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20. And Jesus has been resurrected, and he's about to ascend into heaven. And he goes, oh, one more thing. Let me share one more thing with you. And this is what he shares with them in Matthew 28, verse 18 through 20. He says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Now I want to stop right there. Listen to what he says here. Jesus says, all authority. How much authority? All authority on heaven and on earth are mine. They are mine. No one's higher than me. I have all the authority there is on heaven and earth. I have all the authority, what he's saying, in the universe. It is mine. It is mine alone. And I have the authority to do what I want. Since you understand this, he gives this conjunction. Therefore, since I have all this authority, this is what I want. This is what I'm telling. This is what I'm saying. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. The second commandment, second mandate that Jesus gives us is really the Great Commission, is what we call it. It's a Great Commission. Commission means that a group of people given official authority to do something. And Jesus says, I have all authority of heaven and earth, all authority of the universe, and I'm giving you official authority, the church, to do something. And what does he tell us to do? Go and make disciples. That's the authority. That's the commission that he gives us. Go and make disciples. What is a disciple? A disciple is a learner of Christ. It's Jesus is walking and looking back and saying, who's in the way with me? It's those that are in the way with Jesus. It's followers of Christ. It's people who are walking with Jesus. It's not converts. It's just not talking about someone who just accepted Jesus Christ. He's talking about people who are in the way with Jesus, who are walking with Jesus, who are followers of Christ and are committed to him. And that's our mandate. So our church's mandate is this, to love God and love others and to go and make disciples. That's what the church has been called to do. That's it. And so each local church has to determine how they will execute that mandate in their assembly. They have to decide, how are we going to do that? And that's what each church has to come up with. How am I going to execute the mandate in which God has given the church to do? What will we do to accomplish that mandate here at Crossroads? Well, at Crossroads Community Church, we have a mission statement, and it's on the bulletin of each week, on the back of your bulletin. It's out in our lobby, but it's also in your insert, and it's up on the screen, and I like to read that. It's kind of God's mission statement that how we will execute this mandate that God has given us here at Crossroads Community Church. And it says a lot inside of this statement. And it says, to develop fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ who will reach, serve, and build into other lives for the glory of God. And so what you need to understand, what we are trying to do, we are trying to make fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. That's our goal. That's what we want to do. And we want to do it all for the glory of God. That's what we're trying to accomplish here. That's the biblical mandate, and that's how we're going to accomplish it. And through this mission statement, we want to fulfill to love God and love others, and also to go and make disciples. See, this statement that you understand gives us our purpose, and its foundation is from the biblical mandate. And the statement gives us the means to accomplish the biblical mandate. That statement, even though it's just simple in itself, it gives us the means to stay focused on what we're trying to accomplish here at Crossroads. So it can really help us to say no to certain things because it's not trying to accomplish our mandate that God has given us. And that mission statement helps us to say no to many things and say yes to some. Because we want to stay really focused on what God has called us and not get off on some tangent and go over here, but still really stay focused to love God and love others and to go and make disciples. And so the mission statement helps you to do that. So I want to give you three ways from this mission statement to fulfill the biblical mandate to develop fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. That's what I want to talk to you about this morning. And if you're just visiting with us, I think you're going to find that it helps you to understand, too, the mandate that God has for each and every one of us as followers of Christ. The first one, we want to build into other lives. What this is talking about, we want you to grow in Christ. That's really the heart and passion to grow. We want to help others grow in Christ. So to give you a little bit of my heart as a pastor, for over 30-some years that I've been saved, my heart as a person is to see people grow. When I first came to Christ, I don't know, I didn't have it before, I can honestly tell you. I didn't have a desire for God's word. But when I accepted Jesus Christ that night in a church, from that moment on, I had a really heart and passion for God's word. And I could not get enough of it. And I had an elder in my church that met me for 2.5 years every week. I was in a small group. We would meet often. And he discipled me for 2.5 years. And I had that great honor and privilege to be discipled by a very godly man. And I always thank God for that. And ever since then, God has laid it on my heart to really help other people grow. That's my passion, to disciple. My passion is to see people grow, to take that next step. That's why when you see we'll teach, we go a little deeper here because I want to challenge you in the word of God. I don't want to sit up here and think what you all know and what you all agree. I want to challenge you what you think sometimes to really make you think. And I have some of you tell me, boy, I never heard of that, Pastor. That's good. I want to challenge you so you really think of what the word of God is saying. So you really go home and really think about this and pray about it and come back and ask questions. And that's good. I would love for you to do that. But we really want to help you to grow. Of course, to grow, we have to start on the right foundation, right? We all have to be on the right foundation. Because if you ever built a home or a barn, or maybe you built a shed at your house, you have to start with the right foundation to build. And to build on a wrong foundation can cause everything to come crashing down. Building on the wrong foundation is quite common in the United States. Some people had decided to build their homes and what they thought was a firm foundation, what they soon found out was a sinkhole. And it begins to sink and lean, and sooner or later the property usually comes crashing down and you have to tear it down. To build a physical structure today, like a house, like a home, we have to dig down to solid soil, and then what we pour is lay some boards and pour a footer, a concrete footer, so we can build up on that foundation, so we can have a firm foundation. So that house that we build upon it, or that building, will last for how many years? 50, 60, 70, 80, 100 years, whatever we say, will last quite a long time. To build a spiritual foundation requires a solid, firm foundation that not only will last this lifetime, but has to last for all of eternity. See, we're not looking just for a spiritual foundation that lasts just while I'm alive in this physical body, but we're looking for a foundation that will last forever and ever and ever and ever. So if you look at this, you realize that any ordinary foundation will do. But it has to be the right foundation in which we're building upon. In Matthew 7, verse 24 through 25, Jesus is speaking about this. And he says here, and it's up on the screen, he says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation upon the rock." And it's so funny that this passage of scripture, you and I can really identify that with today, what's going down in Florida with Hurricane Irma, that we realize that the wind is coming, and the rain is coming crashing down, and the floodwaters are coming, and will these houses stand? And Jesus said, unless it's built on a rock, it will not stand. But we know that every one of those homes that are built down there, sooner or later, maybe 100 years from now, they will come crashing down. We know that. And what Jesus is talking about us, that we have to make sure we have this firm foundation. Be careful what you're building upon. Be very careful of what you're building on. And there are four things that you need to be sure to grow in Christ. And these are not in your notes. These are just four extra things that I wanted to give you that were really on my mind. And this first one is the most important one, is to make sure the foundation in which you're building upon is Jesus. I can't say that enough. If you're here and you're building your life upon family, even though family is great, if that's all you're building upon, if you're building upon your job, if you're building on your retirement account, if you're building on whatever, guys, it will come crashing down. It will not last forever. Those things don't. And the only thing that will is Jesus. He's the only sure foundation we can depend upon. Of who he is and what he did for us upon the cross is what we need to focus on. See, we all need to understand this, and many of you have heard this, but I've got to share it. There might be someone that don't know this. That God desires to have a relationship with every one of us. He loves us, and he says, I want to have a relationship with you, but because of our sin, it separates us from God, and there's no way that you and I can approach God. So God sent his son Jesus from heaven to earth, and Jesus went to the cross, and God placed all your sins and my sins upon Jesus, and Jesus died on the cross, and he stretched out his arms, and what Jesus really did, he bridged that gap, and he laid a foundation between God the Father and you and I. He laid a new foundation. A foundation that we can walk on, a foundation that we can depend upon, and it's on Jesus. And it's called the new covenant, that Jesus came to establish a new foundation for you and I. And everyone who places their faith and trust in Jesus Christ for forgiveness of sins by just simply coming and saying, God, I know I'm a sinner. I know that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins. And right now, I place my faith and trust in Jesus for forgiveness of sins. The Bible said God would gladly forgive your sins. And now you've built your life on the right foundation. The foundation will last for eternity. It's in the new covenant and it will last forever. And it's the right foundation. And so we have to build upon that right foundation. It's only found in Christ. But then Jesus also says we need to put his words into practice in Matthew 7, verse 24. And the second thing we need to grow in Christ is we need the word of God, Bible study. We need to grow in this word. We need this in our life. And how do we do that? How do we grow in this word? Well, the first place I will share with you is you need to be here on Sunday morning with the word of God. The one thing I want you to know is here on Sunday morning, we're going to sing worship songs, we're going to pray, but we're going to teach the truth of this word. And the truth of this word, sometimes it rubs us the wrong way and it hurts because God rebukes us with the word, but many times he encourages us, he guides us, he leads us, he directs us on all those things, and it's all good for us. But we're going to teach the word of God, and that's what I want you to know. So you need to be here on Sunday mornings to hear the word of God. But also you can grow in by being in small groups. And after the service in the ministry fair, you have an opportunity to sign up for a small group. We also have some new ministries that come on this year. The Women's Bible Study that meets the first Saturday of every month at 9 a.m. in the cafe. Be a part of that. We also have the Young at Hearts Ministry. We're doing a special event in a couple weeks. But they're going to start meeting on Sundays after church at 11 a.m. On two Sundays out of the month down in room 7. You're going to be a part of that ministry, Young at Heart. And be a part of what God is doing there. See, through studying the word of God, we grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And God wants us to grow in the grace and knowledge. How can we trust him if I don't really understand him? Oh, I accept him as my Savior, but do I really understand him? Do I really have the mind of God? Do I really have the mind of Christ? Do I really understand him? And that's what we do, that we grow in the grace and knowledge. And Jesus said, I will build my church. And then he gives you and I the biblical mandates in which we're to live by and what the church is to accomplish. And Jesus meant for you and I to be committed to a local assembly, to be committed to his local church, and that we might have regular attendance in that local church is what he meant for every one of us. That we'd be here regular, on a regular basis, that we might meet together. He always intended that for us. That we'd be a part of a local church, that we'd be growing in a local church. The third thing we need to grow is in Christ is prayer. Every one of us need prayer. Matthew 21, verse 13, Jesus said this, my house will be called a house of prayer. And it's amazing. As part of our salvation and part of our foundation, God has blessed us with the ability to communicate with God. Did you hear what I said? We can communicate with Almighty God, the one who made everything. We can communicate is what the Bible says. And Jesus wants his church, you and I who are in Christ, to be people who communicate with God, that we talk with God. He wants us to spend time asking for God's help. He wants us to spend time asking God for direction and guidance and leadership. And what should I do here? And what should I do there? He wants us to do that. So what we're called to do is build into each other's lives prayer. And what that means is I pray for you and you pray for me and you pray for her and she prays for you. And we're all praying for each other is what we're to do. And when we do that, whether we realize or not, when we're praying, what we're doing is we're loving God, putting him first, and I'm praying for others and I'm loving others. And I'm accomplishing the biblical mandate when I pray. I'm putting God first. I'm relying on him. I'm surrendering to him. I'm asking for his help, and that's what he wants us to do. And then I'm lifting up others in prayer, so I'm loving them by praying for them, and that's what God wants us to do. And it accomplishes that in our life, and prayer is so important. Before Sunday morning, every Sunday at 9 a.m., we have what we call a prayer partner ministry team that meets down in room 7, and they meet at 9 a.m. And what they do, they come together, it's volunteers that meet, and they come together and they pray for the church. They pray for you, not the building, they pray for you. Do you realize that? While you're coming in on Sunday morning, people are lifting you up. Maybe not by name, but maybe by name. God lays your name on their heart, but they're praying for you generally that as you come in, say you have safety coming in, that you would come in ready to hear God's word, ready to worship God, and that God might move in your heart this morning and give you some truth that he wants you to have to help you in some way in your life. And they're down there praying because we go down there and we dismiss them and they go throughout the building and they begin to pray over a room in here and every room that we use on Sunday morning throughout the week. And they're praying for our worship team that God might use this and take us to the throne of God. They're praying for our tech team. They're praying for ushers and greeters that they might reach out and be that hand of Christ that embraces people and welcomes them into our church. They pray for our cafe as they're giving out the food that they might hear the love of Jesus. They hand that cup of coffee to someone. They pray for our volunteers as they're serving here each Sunday that they might be able to share the truth of God's word and the children might receive it. And they pray for our student ministry. And it goes on and on as they're praying for our church and everything that is going on through their week. And it's amazing that they're doing that. Before I speak each Sunday, I go down to room 7 and I pray with them and they pray over me. And for me, so you know this, for me, that is the most important thing I do on Sunday mornings. That I go down to that room and I pray with them and they pray over me. Because what that is doing, we're asking God to bless everything that we're doing here. We're asking him to bless everything that we're doing on Sunday morning and throughout the week. You know, we can get up here and we can sing songs and we can have all kinds of talent up here. And I can get up here and give a message. But without God's blessing, we're not going to accomplish what we're out to accomplish. That only comes through the power of God. It only comes when you and I come and we surrender to God and invite him in through prayer. Just us doing it doesn't make it happen. It only happens when I say, God, I need your help. I can't do this on my own. And so we're praying to God and say, God, we need you to guide. We need you to pray, have the Holy Spirit to rain down upon us and reveal the truths and help us to accomplish what we need to do. See, when we don't pray is what happens. And when you don't pray in your life, you're saying, God, I got this. My abilities are enough. I can do this. My talents are enough. I can do this. I don't need your help. And none of us are in that place. None of us can say that about ourselves. We all need God's help. So when we come and we pray, we're inviting God to be a part of what we're doing. And we always need to do that if we want to accomplish what God wants us to accomplish in our life. We need to be praying, and God wants us to do that. So I would encourage all of you to be a part of our prayer partner ministry. I couldn't encourage you more to be a part of that. It's just they come down there a half an hour early of the service to come down there and meet at 9 a.m. in room 7. You can sign up for once a month. You come every Sunday and you can sign up at the ministry fair right there in the cafe right after the service. And I will tell you, if you're really committed and you're really sincere and say, I really want to pray to God and intercede on others' behalf and for the church, I will tell you, God will bless you. He will bless you for that sacrifice. He will bless you for praying that way, to pray for the church and pray for others. God wants people who pray. And I want to thank all those that do that to sacrifice their time. It's a ministry that many don't know. It happens before most of you come in here. But I would encourage you all to be a part of that. The third thing we need is to grow in Christ is biblical fellowship. And the reason I say biblical fellowship and not just fellowship, because many times we think if we just meet, that's fellowship, is biblical fellowship, and it really is not. See, we have fellowship with Jesus because of our faith in Christ, and now we are in Christ, and we have fellowship with other people who are in Christ because we have something in common. We have fellowship with them because they're believers in Jesus Christ. And biblical fellowship is meeting together and putting God at the center of our time together. It's putting him at the center of what we're going to do. It has spirituality to it. It's just not meeting together. We're coming together and either our conversation is filled with Jesus or some kind of spiritual things, spiritual content. We have Bible study. We have prayer time. We have serving time together. It's supposed to include Jesus. Somehow spiritual content has to be a part of it. The Apostle Paul believed that Christians were to fellowship with one another. And he says, also assist with others in what they are lacking. So biblical fellowship meets others' needs. What you're lacking, I'm to meet your need. And what I'm lacking, you're to meet my need. And that's the way it is. And if God encourages me with the word of God, I am to maybe encourage someone else with it too. See, because what has happened, all Christians, believers in Jesus Christ, we fellowship with Christ. And God has blessed us. He's blessed us with so much, and we're to take those blessings that he's given us, and we're to give out to others. And that's what biblical fellowship is. We're to give up and build each other up and give out what Christ has freely given to you and I in all things. To bless others, of course, to bless them. And biblical fellowship centers upon the person of Jesus Christ. It's just not meeting together, but center upon Jesus and his cause. And God wants to be at the center of all your relationships, of all your appointments, of everything that you do. Because if we're saying, following the biblical mandate, that I love God and he is first in my life, and if God is first in your life and he's that important in your life, then the conversation of God should be easy to be brought up. Because when we're talking to people, we easily bring up family members and bring up what we're doing in our job. We bring up so many other things that are important to us. But if we're saying that God is above all those things, that he's that important to us, it should be very easy to bring up what's most important to us, to share him, to talk about him. And that's what God wants us to do. And that's why it's so important for you and I to be in church every Sunday. Because the Bible tells us to have biblical fellowship. And if we're not here, we miss it. Matter of fact, in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, it says, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching. The Bible tells us right out, it doesn't give us an option. It says, let us meet together each week. And it's talking about the first day of the week that we meet together. Resurrection Sunday, we come together. We meet together for biblical fellowship so we can encourage each other, so we can build each other up. It's important for us to meet together. It's very important. You know, there was a survey that was done many years ago, back in the 80s and 90s, and they asked Christians this simple question: how often do you go to church each month? And they could say, well, I never go, seldom go, or frequently often go. And most Christians put they frequently attend. And so they wanted to understand what that meant, so they drilled down and asked more questions. What does that mean? And they said that what that means is they attend church at least 3 to 4 times out of the month. And what they were really saying, they're in church every Sunday, every week they're in church. Unless something happens, they're there. That survey was kind of run not too long ago, and they asked the same question: how often do people at church attend church today? And they had the same answers, the multiple choice: never, seldom, or frequently attend. And most Christians, again, said they frequently attend. But when they asked Christians today, what does that mean to them? And this is what it meant today: I attend church once a month or less. See the difference? People are saying, I attend church once a month or less. Now, my question is this: how can we possibly think that we're going to connect with each other? How can we possibly think we're going to have biblical fellowship and accomplish what God wants to do in our life and say, I belong to a church and I'm connected? And many times, that's one of the complaints of churches, that people feel like they're not connected. And the way you get connected is attending church and getting involved. And the only way to do that is be connected to others. We need each other. Remember, the church was God's design. Let us not give up meeting together was God's design, because he knew that we needed this. None of us would be an island by ourselves, but he knew that we needed to be in a local church to fellowship together. It is so important for all of us to be here every Sunday if it's possible. Make that a priority. The second way to develop fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ is to serve Christ. Serve Christ. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. I love this passage of scripture. It says so much. Before I get into it, let me make a bold statement to you. You will never reach your potential as a Christian unless you are serving in local church. Sounds kind of bold, doesn't it? But Ephesians 4 tells me that God has given you your abilities, your gifts, and your talents to build up the body. And when it's talking about serving, it's talking about in your local church. Do you understand that? I know we say we serve out here, we do this. But when the Bible's talking about serving, it's talking about building up the body, the local church, and using your gifts, your talents, and your abilities to build up the body, to encourage other Christians, to build up the body, to help us make us all strong is what we're called to do. And the Bible is saying in this passage of scripture, Ephesians 2:10, it says, you are God's masterpiece. And you are. God's beautiful masterpiece. It's your new creation. You uniquely designed to serve God. A couple of weeks ago, I kind of talked about that, that sometimes we view ourselves and we see ourselves as just like junk, nothing too much worth. And others may see us like that. But when we shine the light, and I showed a picture of like that, a pile of junk, remember that? Two piles of sticks. And then when we shine the light on that picture, the shadows showed a beautiful picture of a man and a woman. You say, how could that junk show that? Well, that same way in our lives. No matter what others see, when you shine the light of Jesus in our life, the shadow that he reflects is a beautiful masterpiece that God's at work, that God is doing in our lives, and he's kind of changing us, doing all kinds of things. You were created with this unique design to do good works. Do you know that? God designed you to do good works. God's works are evidence of God's work in you. And God's works are evidence that you are in Christ. Those works that you're doing, they're evidence that you're in him. And God wants you to do these good works. He wants you to accomplish them for him. He wants you to serve. That's what he's giving you these gifts for. That's one of the reasons he saved you and he blessed you with the gifts and talents and abilities that you have. Not that you can use them every place else, but that you might use them in the local church and build up the body and help other people grow so we might reach more people. And that's what he wants to happen. He has uniquely wired you to serve. As these speakers in this auditorium are uniquely wired to kind of put out different sounds and stuff like that, God has uniquely wired you, and you're different from everyone else with your gifts and your abilities and your talents to accomplish only what God wants you to do, and no one else can do what God has called you to do. And God wants you to use them, as I say, to build up the local body. How many of you ever put together a jigsaw puzzle? I mean, how many have ever put together? When I was a kid, we used to put them together all the time. And Sheila and I just recently put together a jigsaw puzzle. I have to admit, when I put them together, she could tell you, it's like, I can't stop. I got to conquer this thing. I got to beat it. But we take the puzzle out. You know, you take the jigsaw puzzle out and you turn all the pieces over and you look at them and try to get the border. And as you're putting together, what's really amazing is about, you see the picture on the box and man, that's great. And you take the pieces out and you start putting them together and each piece has a place. Each piece has a place, and the picture starts to materialize as you start putting the pieces together. Well, I've always looked at it as a puzzle's weak. The more pieces you get inside of a puzzle, the stronger it becomes, because if you're putting together a puzzle, you just have the outline. If you hit it, it all comes apart and stuff like that. But the more pieces you get in it, this puzzle becomes more solid. And it doesn't move around. But you realize that each piece is very crucial to the overall picture. Every piece is essential. Is essential to this puzzle. They're important to the puzzle. And the puzzle's not complete till every piece in that puzzle is put in its place. Well, just like you serving in the church, you're like a piece of that puzzle. Each piece is important. Each piece has a unique design that's just shaped a certain way. It only fits in certain places, only fits in one spot. Does it fit in three different spots? It's one spot. It looks like it fits over here, but it really fits here. And this piece interlocks with the other pieces. And if this piece isn't in its place, it causes other pieces not to be able to function the way they should function. Because every piece has to be in place for that puzzle to really benefit for you and I to look at. And to make that puzzle really stay together, it needs every one of those interlocking pieces. And God has made you a piece of the puzzle of the local church. And he's given your unique design with your abilities, your talents, and your gifts that you will plug a certain piece inside of the church. Unless you're using those gifts and those talents and you're using those inside of the local church, the local church is not as strong as it can be because that interlocking pieces are not together. And that local church is not able to accomplish and have that beautiful picture that God wants to do because all the pieces are not being used and it's lacking because all those pieces are not there. And God wants us all to be working together to accomplish his goal and to put that puzzle together so we can all be functioning as a healthy body. My encouragement to every one of you, that you might exercise your gifts of which God has given you. He's given them to you, not to you hide, but that you might use them in the local church to serve. And then you might reach your potential by growing. And until you do that, you're never going to reach the potential that God has for you. And we're not allowing ourselves to stretch and allow ourselves to have God to stretch us. And God, I'm uncomfortable doing this. And God says, I'll be with you. See, what God has called us to do, he will enable us to do it. And many times it's going to take us out of our comfort zone and ask us to do something I can't do. And God says, that's right. You can't, but I can. But I've given you the gifts and the abilities to accomplish that. We need to take those steps and allow God to do that. We want to give you that opportunity here at Crossroads. We want to give you the opportunity to reach your potential, every one of you. To get involved in a ministry, go to the ministry fair, meet our ministry leaders, talk to them, and pick a ministry you can get involved in and be a part of that. The third way to develop fully devoted followers of Jesus is to reach others for Christ. To reach others for Christ. In Matthew 28:19, Jesus said, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Go reach them. Go reach them. All followers of Jesus Christ have been commissioned, you have been commissioned, given the authority by Jesus to reach others for Christ. He also says that in Acts 1:8, up on the screen, he says this. Jesus said, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. That what this is saying is God has chosen the church. He has chosen those that are in Christ. If you are in Christ, he has chosen you, each individual, to reach others for Jesus. And I know the hesitancy many times we're going to say, but what is the church going to do? How are we going to reach people for Jesus? Let me just back you up and realize, what is this passage saying? Is it saying that? No, this passage is not saying that. What are we all going to do? It's saying, but Jesus said, you will be my witnesses. You as an individual Every one of you will be my witnesses. You are the church. You have received power from on high through the Holy Spirit indwelling you, is what he's saying, when you place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Now each one of you are to be my witnesses for Jesus. I know many times we're waiting for the church to do some big event, and I've done many big events to reach people for Christ. Let me just share with you. Most of the time you put all the effort and everything into that event, and you come about, and by the end result, you look at what it produced, and say, man, we could have taken all that energy, all that time, and really equipped and trained our people so that they could go out and do it. And we see much more fruit from that. And so that's what the Bible is saying. Not as a corporate, that every person, every one of you, everyone are to be daily witnesses for Jesus. Not waiting for an event. Events happen once in a while, but daily witnesses of Jesus. You're to be witnesses to your neighbors. You're to be witnesses to your family. You're to be witnesses to the community. You're to be witnesses for coworkers. Well, all to be witnesses is what he says. Every day, every conversation, every place you go, you are a witness for Jesus. You don't have to wait for the church. You are the church. You are to do that every day, every moment of every day, looking for opportunities. That's another reason why it is so, so important for you to be at church, so you might be equipped and trained and encouraged in sharing Christ with others. Because out there, when we're sharing Christ with others, let's be honest, it's difficult, it's hard, it's rejection. So you come to church to get encouraged, to be lifted up, so you hear, have others pray with you and have that biblical fellowship so we can go back out there again. That's what church is to be about. When you come here and you're kind of encouraged and you're lifted back up to accomplish what God wants us to do, to accomplish all that God wants us to do, we need each other. Here at Crossroads, we want to develop fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ who will build, grow in Christ, serve in Christ, and reach others for Christ, and therefore accomplish the biblical mandate to love God and love others and to make disciples. How will Crossroads accomplish this mission? How will we accomplish this mission statement? And that's what these last few things are in our Crossroads discipleship process. The first one, we want to encourage everyone to attend the worship service. I can't share that enough. Guys, make sure you're here. Quit attending Sunday service. God never meant for Sunday service to be an option. He never meant that. He never meant that. When he prayed his church, he said, this is good for you. This is the best thing you can do each week is come to church and to fellowship with others and to worship together and hear God's word. It's the best thing we can do, but sometimes we lay it way down the priority of the line. Going to church should be our highest priority of the week. Do you understand it? He said, set aside the first day of the week, Resurrection Sunday, and meet. And we're to be here on a regular basis if we really want to grow. So I encourage you, if you really want to grow, that you're going to say, we want everyone here at Crossroads to attend a worship service, to be here. And I know sometimes you serve on Sunday. We don't want anybody serving more than twice a week out there. We want you to be in here too. We want you to be here. It's so important you're here. Second, we want everyone to be involved in a small group. We believe if you're involved in a small group, not only you're growing here through the service, but you're going to be able to interact with other believers and really grow and really fellowship and have people pray with you and all those kind of things and really interact with others. And we want to give you the opportunity to sign up for that today, right on our ministry fair, to be able to sign up for that. And last but not least is to serve in a ministry. To really become mature and become all that God wants you to be, you need to be serving. You need to exercise the abilities and gifts and talents that God has given you and serve. And we want to give you that opportunity to find that place to serve. That's why we do this at least once a year, have a ministry fair for you to find where God wants you and to serve. Because our goal is not to come up here and kind of be burdensome to you. That's not what this is about. Guys, I'm telling you the honest truth. For you as a Christian to grow, you have to be involved. It doesn't happen by chance. It doesn't happen by attending just on Sunday mornings. I'd love for all you to be here, but it happens by us being involved and serving all those kind of things. For us, our goal is to develop fully devoted followers of Jesus. That's what I want. I want to see each one of us. Not just say, I know Jesus, but I'm a follower of Jesus. How? And you can list off the ways you're a follower of Jesus. Man, I'm serving here and I'm living for Jesus here and I'm sharing here with others and I'm doing this. That you can really serve off. Not that I attend Crossroads or whatever, but I'm really a fully devoted follower of Jesus. And if someone was truly to follow you around and spy on you, they could tell, boy, that person's really dedicated to Christ. That's what we want to help you to become. And hopefully that's what you want to become. You say, I really want to be that because I want to do that for my children's sake, that they might see that in me. I want to do that for my grandchildren's sake. I want to do that so I might reach other family members, coworkers. They might really see that I'm a fully devoted follower of Christ. And that will fulfill the mandate to love God and put him first and to love others by serving them and to go make disciples. And as I said it again and again, I'm going to give you the opportunity after the service to do that. Our priority to go there, the ministry leaders are going to be there. Please go there. They have some great snacks, as Scott said. They're going to have opportunities for you to connect, build relationships, connect in ministry, connect with other people. And that's what church is about, connecting, serving, relationships, interacting, all those kind of things, a piece of the puzzle, and you're connecting. And that's what it's all about, and that's what God wants us to do. Become fully devoted followers of Christ who are growing, who are serving, who are reaching others for Christ. Let's pray. Lord, we praise you. We praise you. We thank you so much, God, for you. You love us and you gave yourself for us and you served us, Lord. You didn't come here to lord over us. When you came to this earth, Jesus, you came to serve. You came to serve us and you came to serve and you went to the cross. You died on the cross for our sins to serve us and give us the and fulfill the greatest need that we have, forgiveness of sins. And we praise you and thank you so much for that. But Lord, now you've called us to something mighty. Something that's bigger than all of us. Something that we can't accomplish on our own. You've given us a biblical mandate, Lord, that's bigger than any one of us, that would love you and would love others and would make disciples. Lord, we all have to admit that we fall short of all these things, and the only way we can do that, God, is my today coming and saying, God, that I need help to put you first in my life. None of us have arrived. None of us can say I've accomplished that in every area of my life. So Lord, I help you that you would help us to do that, that we might yield our hearts and minds to you in every area of our thought life, in our life, in our calendar, and what we're doing. We might realize, Lord, that you've got a plan for our lives, a plan that's bigger than what we have, and a plan that's better for us than what we could ever think of. And the plan that you have for us as we'd put you first, that we love others by serving and serving in the local church. And Lord, that we might really have a really heart to reach the lost by sharing what's the greatest thing in our life, and it's you, Jesus, that we'd share you with others, that we'd have the honor and privilege to do that. I pray that you would convict each and every one of our hearts this morning to really accomplish, to really want to accomplish what you've set us out to do. I pray, Lord, for a ministry fair this morning, Lord, that many would attend and just go talk to the leaders. Just find out how nice of people they are, that you would be glorified through all this, Lord, that your name would be magnified in Crossroads Community Church, and we might become all that you want us to be. And each one of us can honestly say that I am a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ. Lord, we praise you and thank you. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.